Okay, thank you, Philip. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be talking about hearing. Hearing. You know, when give my old illustration from Wednesday night. You know, when some people hear the Bible preached, there's at least four different responses. Some people hear what they thought they heard. Some people hear what they wanted to hear. Some people don't hear anything. Some people hear what was said. Can you imagine this? Here are the words of the Lord Jesus, verse 17 of Matthew 13. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Here he's taking a glimpse of the world and of mankind. And he says, you know, there's a great host of people who would have been glad and would have rejoiced to hear what I preached. What I said, this is the words of the Lord Jesus. But what was the truth? Verse 13, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables. Because they, seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Here, think, can you put yourself into the setting? Here is the wonderful, eternal Son of God. And he's on this earth. And he's telling the people the words of God. We're not talking about the prophet Jeremiah. We're not talking about the prophet, you know, Ezekiel. We're not talking about Moses. You know what? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you would think, right? You would think that the perfect preacher, with the perfect word of God, it would have hit home, right? But did it? Did it? No. What does he say about it? He says, therefore I speak to them in parable, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Think about it. They saw Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, robed in flesh. They saw him feed 5,000 at one time out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They saw him feed 4,000 another time. They saw him raise from the dead. Many different peoples. They saw him heal all manner of sickness. And you know, when they saw him, what did they say? This man hath a devil. Wow. And Jesus, at the end of this passage of Scripture, says, there have been, put extra words there, eons of people throughout history who would have, who desired with all their heart to have heard the Son of God speaking the Word of God. All the prophets of the Old Testament, the men of God, they would have been thrilled to hear the Lord Jesus. hear him preach perfectly, declare the truth perfectly, the word of God, the living word of God. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, you know, we realize that that's the simple plan of God. Thinking about it, you know, in Romans chapter 10, notice what it says, this great passage of Scripture. It talks about the word of salvation, how that if man shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, he should be saved. What a wonderful truth. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's not works. It's not a religion. It's not baptism. It's not catechism. It's personal faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that Jesus preached. And in the Bible, that's the message that people need to hear. And if we go on, verse 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple faith by turning from sin to turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon him to be your Savior. Then it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Notice how simple that is. People need to hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God who left Calvary, who left heaven to die in our place for and pay the penalty for all our sin. Because there's nothing that we could do to save ourselves. We are all sinners. I was talking to a girl at Culver's last night. And I said, how would a person get to heaven? And she says, well, you'd have to be good. And I said, well, how? Must be something really good you'd have to do in order for God to let you in heaven by being good. What would that be? And she didn't have a, she says, I don't know. And I says, well, what about our sin? Well, she says, well, we all have sinned. And I said, yeah. And the Bible says there's no sin can get into heaven. How's that going to get care of? She said, of course, I said, Jesus. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Last Sunday morning, after morning service at Community Baptist in Saginaw, our reunion group went to a Chinese restaurant, and as I was going through the door, there was a young couple there, and I said, Ni hao. I thought maybe they were Chinese. I knew they were Oriental. And he said, no, speak Chinese. And I said to him, where are you from? He said, Vietnam. And I said, Xin Chao. That's the only word I know in Vietnamese, which means hello. And so I struck up a little short conversation there in line. And I said to him, have you ever heard of Jesus? Have you ever heard of Jesus? Now, obviously, he's been in America long enough to be able to speak fluent English. I said, have you ever heard of Jesus? You know what he said? No. No, I've never heard of Jesus. How shall they believe on him of whom they have never heard? For you know, God's plan is obvious. Hear and believe. You know, have you ever read stories? I've read stories, amazing stories, about in former years, somebody traveling to some country, and all they did was drop off one gospel tract. Had no time to converse with the person. One gospel tract. The person reads the gospel tract about salvation is by faith in Christ alone. He calls on Christ. He gets saved, born again. And eventually, hundreds of people in that village come to Christ. You hear about that. You know, I think that's the normal plan of God. About the Bible and hearing it. Didn't take 50 times, 100 times, 200 times. The Bible says the Corinthians hearing believed. Read your Bible. Hearing, and they believed. But yet, here, even with the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that sometimes people's hearing isn't very good. Because here, the perfect Son of God preached. And the vast majority of people who heard him rejected it. And it points out the fact that there is a normal path to anybody who hears and reads the Word of God. The normal path is faith and obedience. But that isn't always true. Read the prophets. Read Jeremiah. Read Ezekiel. So this morning I want to ask, deal with an important subject. What are the spiritual hindrances to hearing? How is it that you could hear but not hear? How is it that you could hear and not hear? I thought about this young Chinese man, Vietnamese person. I said, you ever heard of Jesus? No. I said, you know, Jesus was the Son of God who came down from heaven 2,000 years ago, took on human flesh and died on the cross for our sins. He had never heard about Jesus Christ. If you look at where we're in our text today, there maybe the context would easily be, this context is really not talking about lost people. It's really not, in one sense of the word, it's not talking about people who never heard the Bible before. It's not like this Vietnamese person who never heard of Jesus ever before. It's talking about the Jewish people. The Jewish people who had the Bible. And they went to the synagogue and they went to the temple. And very religious people. And they had the privilege of having the Son of God in their midst and preach to them. And yet, the majority of them didn't hear what he said. And so let's see some insights into what the Bible says. Why do the, let's put it in quotes, the people of God here, but not here. Notice in Matthew 13, maybe we should end with this, but Matthew 13, it says in verse 53, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come nigh into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" We know that the Lord Jesus, that Mary had four other boys after the virgin birth of Christ. And then he had sisters, and are they not with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Notice verse 57. And they were offended in him. And they were offended in him. They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Didn't we see this young man in our midst, you know? Don't we know his family? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters?" Obviously, they are half brothers, half sisters, but Bible says they were offended in him. You see, they didn't hear what Jesus said because of prejudice. They had prejudice against him as a person. The Bible says they were offended in him. And because they were offended, you know what I mean? Here's a young person. And mom or dad is trying to tell this young person something. But what's the young person thinking? The young person is thinking, why should I listen to him? He's not perfect. And so they don't hear a word he says. You know what? That child is offended, aren't they? With a person trying to speak to them. Jeremiah, the prophet, was preaching to the people of Israel, trying to warn them of judgment. And what did the people do? The people said, let's get this guy out of here. Let's put him in the dungeon. Now, they were supposed to listen. But their heart was full of prejudice. And you know, bitterness is a real part of prejudice. If you're bitter at someone, you aren't going to listen to a word they say. But they were bitter at Jesus. Must have been Jesus did something wrong. No, it's a human trait, isn't it? Bitterness is a human trait. And prejudice is a human excuse not to hear the word of God. And it's a human excuse not to hear your teacher or your pastor. And the result will be you'll not hear at all the word of God. Number two, what are hindrances to hearing? Number two is presumption. Deuteronomy chapter 1, it gives us this incident where we all know about. The spies came back from the promised land, the Cadesh Barnea. Read about it in Numbers chapter 12, 13, 14. And the 10 spies said, no, can't go in. The 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no problem, we can do it. God told us. But anyway, the people said, no. And God says, okay. You'll have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the people said, we don't want to do that. We'll go into the land now. And God says, no, don't go up into the land. No, and they says, but we want to go into the land. He says, no, you aren't going to go into the land. You made your choice. But what did they do? Did they listen to God? No. They went. And what happened? They were defeated. But notice it says, Deuteronomy 1:43, so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. What is presumption? Presumption is you don't hear because you've already decided to do something else. You've already decided to do something else. That's called presumption. And so, to hear something that is contrary to what you want to do, even if it's from God, and when you've already decided what you're going to do, you aren't going to hear what God says. That's called presumption. I think you know it from a human standpoint. You know, speaking from a parent's standpoint, you know, a young person comes to you and they say, this is what I'm going to do. And you say, no, that's not what you should do. And you try to give them all the reasons why they shouldn't do that, but they don't hear what you say because what? They already decided what they're going to do. Presumption. You know, presumption makes pretty dull ears. Presumption keeps people from hearing the truth of the Bible. You know what that means? That means you can read your Bible and not even read what it says spiritually. Because you've already decided what you're going to do. And so the words that you are reading aren't going to change your mind. Because this is a spiritual issue. Number 3, what are the hindrances to hearing God in His Word? And hearing God in the Word of God? Number 3 reason is pride. Pride. The Bible has put it many different ways. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But you know, the Bible has a lot of other ways of saying the same thing. In Jeremiah chapter 13, this is what it says about that. Jeremiah 13, verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their own heart. In other words, I have a better idea. I have a better idea. You know, that's an attitude that a person can bring before God. I have a better idea. Well, you know what the Bible's saying? The Bible's saying that that has a definite effect upon a person's spiritual ears. Because to come to God, we must come before Him humbly. We don't come to God telling Him what we're going to do. We come to God submitted to what He says. You'll find that obviously all these are spiritual issues between a man and God. The fourth hindrance to hearing, the Bible calls it hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, it's talking about the people of Israel as they wandered, those people that wandered in the wilderness. Beginning with verse 10, it says, "Wherefore was I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hardened. You ever heard of the phrase a hard heart? What's a hard heart? Well, you can't penetrate. It's hard. They don't listen to reason. And the Bible talks about the fact that the people of God can become hard of heart. And because they're hard of heart, they don't hear the Bible. When they read the Bible, they're just reading. They don't know the voice of God. The Bible says they have a hard heart. And it says that there's a reason that people have hard hearts. It says that they had hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the common misconception among people of any people is that sin does not affect you. You know, the common thinking is that, well, whatever I do, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, it's okay. You know, that's masking the problem that number one, that sin not only is a sin against God, but sin is against you. And sin always has an effect, and the worst effect it has is on you and me. And it affects our mind, it affects our will, it affects our heart. And the world system itself, it totally ignores that. The whole idea that you shouldn't censor some books, that it's okay to have pornography in the library and let kids read it. It's no problem. You know, try to get rid of the Bible. Make sure you get rid of the Bible. But don't tell somebody that they can't read pornography, because all they're doing is reading something. No, they're defiling themselves. Defiles their mind, defiles their heart. Twist their will. Sin hardens people's hearts. Young people have this idea. Well, I can dabble in this. I can watch this. I can listen to this. And it have no effect upon me. Lie. Lie. Sin always has an effect. And one of the real effects of sin is that hardens a person's heart. So that when they read the Bible, or when they hear the Bible preached, they don't hear it. It doesn't affect them. They can walk away being unaffected. The wonderful Word of God has no impact on their life. Wow. You know why? Because you can never play with sin and get away with it. That sin needs to be confessed. That sin needs to be forsaken. And if it isn't, no matter if you've done a great job hiding it from your parents or teachers or pastors, your heart is hard. What a blessing. Last week, our reunion at Grand Blanc in Michigan, actually Saginaw, was the 50th anniversary of the youth group at Bethany Baptist Church. 50 years ago, in 1966, Ron Allen was called to be the youth pastor at Bethany Baptist Church. And they had 12 high school young people. And the pastor and men of the church were interested in reaching young people. And make a long story short, there was revival. Those 12 young people surrendered their life to serve the Lord. There were adult helpers, and some of them were at that reunion as well. And soon, those 12 young people were the vehicle for reaching hundreds and hundreds of young people in Grand Blanc, Michigan. And it would be nothing to have a youth activity on Friday night with 150 to 200 people. And, Mr. Allen accepted Christ at 18 years of age. He's from, I think, east of Peoria. What's that little town? Chillicothe, Illinois. He had signed a contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. He had a signed contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was going to go into pro ball. He got saved. He was reading his Bible. He was reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. And as he read the Bible, the Holy Spirit was able to speak to his heart. And he couldn't get out of his soul. Preach the word. And he knew right then that God was calling him into the ministry. And he left his pro career and went to Bible college. You know why? Because he could hear the word. He could hear the word. You know, God speaks through his word. That's his plan. But there's many who don't ever hear God anymore. Because there's a problem with their ears. Now in the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 3, it says in verse 12, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Reminds us of Matthew 13, just where we started today, where it says they were offended in Jesus, and it says, and he did not many mighty works among them because of their unbelief. You know, unbelief, what is unbelief? Unbelief is a lack of faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. They heard the same message. And you responded to it. And God changed your life. We responded and God changed our life, but you heard the same thing. and did nothing. You know what? Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that an amazing thing? That is one of the realities of the ministry. That some people can hear the Bible and they get absolutely nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Someone else hears the same message and their life gets changed. Is the problem with the message? Problem with God? No, it's a problem with the heart. And here it says that the Word of God has to be mixed with faith. Now, how do you put that in practical terms? They're very simple. Faith is a decision to trust God, isn't it? That's what faith is. Faith is a decision to trust God, to obey God. It incorporates with us, with the idea that what the Bible says, it's true, and I'm going to obey it, no matter what costs. But you know, if a person in their heart says, well, that won't work out. That won't work out to obey God. Do they have faith? You know what the Bible's saying? They won't even hear it. They won't even hear the original proposition. Because in their heart, they've already said, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I might have to trust God if I did that. And the Bible says, obviously, God knows our heart. And our heart functions under certain circumstances. And when there's no faith, you don't hear it. You don't hear it. Isn't that kind of scary? That you could hear the Bible and you could not even really hear it. Because in your heart, God knows you don't have faith to obey. That's pretty serious. And so we find a hindrance to hearing is lack of faith. A lack of faith to obey. Number 6. Our heart is drawn away by other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 30. It has a very interesting verse here. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but Hebrews chapter Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. Verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Isn't that great? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Talking about success in the Christian life. You know what it's saying? You hear the word of God, and you obey it. And that's what God is asking his people to do. But verse 17, it says, but if thine heart turn away, then ye shall surely perish. And if thy heart turn away so that thou will not hear. Will not hear. You don't hear it. You heard it, but you didn't hear it. You read your Bible, but you don't hear it. You hear the sermon, but you don't hear it. You don't hear God's voice. Why? Because your heart has been drawn away by other gods. We're not talking about statues, idols. You know, some people, there's a lot of gods. Some people, their god is the dollar bill. That's all they hear. Some people, their god is sports. Some people, their god is entertainment. Some people, their god is whatever. There are a lot of gods in this world, aren't there? That people go after, you know? They don't hear God's word because their heart has been drawn away. You know, one of the big problems today is God isn't enough. God isn't enough. The creator of heaven and earth, the God who fills heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, the great I am, the majestic Holy One, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. What do you mean by that, Pastor? In other words, there's no satisfaction in God. I don't find any satisfaction in God. My only satisfaction, I don't find fulfillment in God. I don't find fulfillment in knowing God. I don't find fulfillment in serving God. Many people are saying by their actions, the only fulfillment I have in life is by this thing that I do or this entertainment place that I go. That's the only fulfillment. Where's God? The psalmist said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't Jesus enough? That's all we need. Amen? But when people's hearts have been drawn after things and entertainment and this and that, they don't hear God anymore. What do they hear? They hear the voice of their favorite whatever. That's the voice they hear. That's the driving force of their soul, of their mind. And when they hear read the Bible, it's, well, I'm just reading words. They'd be honest. Even though it's the infallible, perfect Word of God. Idolatry. The last one we talk about this morning is dullness of ears. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And you know, these things are all for all of us. Every one of us, I trust here, if you know the Lord, I trust every day you spend time reading God's Word. I'm not talking about, you know, hot dog devotions and waiting for, you know, what some feeling. I'm talking about really studying the Bible and walking with God. But you know, that can become just mundane. And there's many Christians who don't even read the Bible on a daily basis. They don't even have a clue what it means to walk with God. Because their interest in God has gone so far away. They don't know even the clue what it is to walk with God. But notice what it says here. Paul is saying in Hebrews 5, verse 5, it's, verse 10, it says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Talking about Jesus. And of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He says, you know, there's some great truths we want to teach you, but you know what? I can't write them down here because your ears are dull of hearing. Okay? Dull of hearing. You know, what's the opposite of dull? Anybody know? Sharp. That's right. Sharp. Sharp. So, Adam came to our house, stayed over our house last night, came from Michigan to go to the camp out, and I saw him this morning, and I says, he was all dressed for church. I said, boy, Adam, you look sharp. And I says, you must have slept on the edge of your bed last night. But the opposite of dull is sharp. You know, what's a sharp ear? You know, in the military, they talk about sharp ears. Chuck Cofty would talk about sharp ears. Vietnam War. at night, in the dark, in the jungle. One snap of a stick might be your death. Life or death, if you heard it or you didn't hear it. Sharpness of ears. It's called acute listening, isn't it? You can hear the voice. You can hear the sound. You know what it means. But the Bible says there were those people who were dull of hearing. They didn't hear it. Their ears weren't acute. Their ears were dulled. You know how they were dulled? Notice what the Bible says. They were dulled by hearing the truth many times, but not obeying it. It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He says, you're old enough in the Lord now that you ought to be teaching other people the Bible and these great truths. He says, but you know what? you're not there. You need to go back to the beginner's class because you aren't even doing the beginner's things. You aren't doing the beginner's things. You're not doing the beginner's things like reading your Bible every day and being in church every service and praying and witnessing. You're not even doing the first things. We got to teach you to get back to that class to do the things that you do when you first get saved, everybody. He says, we got to take you back there. You should be teaching, but why? I can't even teach you these important things because your ears are dull of hearing. And then he tells us why their ears were dull of hearing. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And of course, it's a great Bible principle. How do you learn what is right and wrong? You learn by obeying the Bible. And he says, your ears are dull of hearing because you heard it. You know what I mean? You heard it and you heard it and you heard it. But you'd never have obeyed it. People say, well, so? The Bible says this is a serious problem. The serious problem is now your ears are dull. And if your ears are dull, you don't hear much anymore. You don't hear much. In other words, the Bible doesn't have much power anymore. The Word of God preached doesn't have much influence anymore. I heard that, I heard that before. I heard that before. You know, I remember one time many years ago, this is 40 years ago, 39 years ago. There was this lady in town, elderly lady, and we're just starting the church, and she had some interest in spiritual things, and I was trying to minister to her, and I gave her showed her some verses in the Bible, and her response was, "Oh yeah, I read that once before." You know what? If you're a practicing Christian, you read the Bible over and over and over and over. It's not that you've read it before. You read your Bible over and over and over. And the Word of God speaks to your heart every time. Even though you know it. Because it's the living Word of God. But you know, you can sit in that pew and you say, oh, I heard that before. It has no effect on your life. No effect on your life. No decision is going to be made. Nothing's going to happen. Oh, I heard that before. No, the issue is, are we living it? You see, dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. And Jesus said it, in seeing, you see not. And hearing, you hear not. It's a very real reality that can take place in somebody's life. They can hear and not hear. And you know, it's possible they would give these 7 points today. And the great truth that is in each one of them might, many of those truths might even be true in somebody here in their life, but they didn't hear it. And here, had no effect upon them. Nothing. It could have delivered them, right? It could have rescued them from their backslidden condition. It could have helped them, but they didn't hear a thing. Oh, they heard it, but it had no effect upon their heart. You see, this is a very spiritual reality of life, isn't it? I mean, we live in, just by living in this world, this wicked world, we can have our heart hardened. You know, unless a person recognizes these truths, unless a person really does something about it, unless a person is really honest with their soul, Psalm 51, David said, God requires truth on the inward parts. Unless a person really is honest with themselves or their spiritual condition, and is honest with the God of heaven, nothing. Nothing. How many times you've gone to your Bible reading and you say, you know, God, I didn't get much out of it today. You say, God, you know, my heart must be cold. Lord, I know there's nothing wrong with your word. It's me. It's me. Lord, I need you to work on my heart. Because my heart is in big trouble. Wonder today, are you honest enough to say, my heart, my spiritual heart is functioning correctly? The word of God is powerful and effective in my life. That my ear is tuned to it. It's sharp. It's effective in my life. Or are we one of the seven? Well, I didn't hardly even hear that. Dull of hearing. Didn't hear? No, I didn't hear. No effect. I can walk away from it. You know, sad to say, the King of Kings was on this earth. And he preached the pure word of God to rescue people from their sin and to show them the path of life. And they not only did not even hear what he said, they rejected it. It is possible. We are all our spiritual beings. And we all need to take heed to how we hear and to our ears if they are hearing. And we can dismiss the preaching today, but what about when you read your Bible? Do you hear the voice of God? You can't blame me for that. Can't blame some other person for that. Between you and God. Are you walking with God? Do you hear his voice? There's some reasons, maybe some solutions right here. I probably should have preached the opposite message, because every negative has a positive, amen? And you can take that and apply that to your life. I wonder today, though, has the greatest thing ever possible in life taken place? That you heard the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ died for you and you're not saved by works or being religious, or but you're saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, that He died for all your sins, that He rose again from the dead and He can give you a new life? Have you heard that wonderful message and responded to it? You know, that's the almost the criteria of the rest of the Christian life. Of hearing God's Word, and when you respond to it by faith, it's great. Amen. Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And today, as a Christian, are you walking that same life in that same way as when you were saved? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You for its great truth. I pray Your blessing would be upon it, Lord. Lord, work in hearts, I pray, in a very special way. We entrust this message to You, Lord, to the hearts of everyone. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're here today and you say, you know what? I can point to a time in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm just rejoicing in that. And I'd be glad to give a testimony of that. And would you just, if you know Christ is your Savior, and every head bowed and eyes closed, you say, just lift up your hand and say, yeah, I know I'm saved. I can point to time when I accepted Christ. You just lift up your hands wherever you might be. Praise God for that. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you would like to know Christ as your Savior. You'd like to know that wonderful thing that you can have the eternal life as a free gift because Jesus paid it all. And you say, Pastor, pray for me because I would like to know that I have eternal life and on my way to heaven. Would you just lift up your hand wherever you might be that I might pray for you as we close the service? Anyone here today? Okay, God bless you. Anyone else? Oh, I'd sure like to know that for sure. That free gift of eternal life that comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Anyone else? Lord, we just thank You today for those today who are here who have heard the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for those who, Lord, are in that state of their soul that they would like to know Jesus as their Savior. And it is so wonderful, Lord. You said, I will never turn anyone away that comes to Me. And so, Lord, we would pray for Your Holy Spirit to work. Show the love of Christ, the perfect penalty that was paid. Show, Lord, our need of Him as sinners and give faith to trust Him. And now, Lord, pray that You will use the Word of God in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.